Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel. It's a media ministry that's dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ, and we're live on the air, online, and on Facebook. And today we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We'll be picking up at the bottom of page 105 at the heading, The Work of Grace. So if you have your copy of the study guide, go ahead and turn to page 105 and we'll get started, because this is our Friday edition of Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, all of us as believers in Christ want to have a big faith. And, you know, as we look at different passages in the New Testament, we see it's not really the size of our faith that matters. It's the object of our faith. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to look at how Christ Jesus perfects our faith or matures our faith. You know, there was a work that was started in each of us the moment that we believed. We went from death to life. We were made fully alive in Jesus Christ. We were given a new identity, a new heart. We were ushered into this new covenant in which we now live. All kinds of things changed. But that was the beginning, and
yes.
God has said that he is going to complete the work that he began in us. He has committed himself to conforming us to the image of his very Son. Well, how does he do that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, and it gets back to the very same way that he saved us, by grace through faith in Jesus. That is the pattern that God has established. That's this new covenant life that we live each and every day, by grace through faith in Jesus. So grace is powerful and active. It's not passive or reactive in the least. It's proactive. It is Jesus Christ living his life in you. Now, he saved us by grace, and it's by grace that he is perfecting our faith, bringing it to maturity. So in the book of Hebrews, we read a great passage. You know, we're to keep our eyes on Jesus, and it goes on to say, who is the author or the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So there's our word again, isn't it?
Yep.
That's the word telos, and it means to bring to a completion, to reach a stated goal. So God is in Jesus is the very author of our faith. He's what brought it about in our lives, and he's committed himself to bringing it to completion. And it's interesting how he chooses to do that. And that's what this
yes.
particular section is all about. It is the work of grace. But before we move down this road, let's stop and see where we've been. You know, I think it's always good to sometimes stop and just take a look back. What has God done to bring us to this very point where we are today? So Jesus taught that we should be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. That's where we began this chapter. And boy, that's a impossible command for us to keep. There's no way that we can be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect in and of ourselves. We don't have what it takes. Human effort will not get us there. Trying to live up to the righteous standards of the law, that's not going to deliver us to that goal either, is it?
No. I mean, it does a real good job of showing that I fall short. And we use terms like that, fall short. What it means is I crashed and burned. That's what fall short means.
Yeah.
And the law is really good at that. But
yes.
That's the best it can be.
Yes.
Thankfully, because it points us to
Jesus.
Yeah,
so we talked about the fact that the language of the law is a lot different from the language of grace.
Yes.
So the language of the law uses words like judgment, condemnation, death.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it speaks to us. Why? Because whenever we look into the law, we see our failures.
Yes.
And so it just initiates that language back out of the law towards us. You're condemned. You failed. You didn't live up to the righteous standard. So you're condemned. This law condemns you.
Mm-hmm.
It judges you. And then it punishes. It has a punishment phase of it. And that punishment is death. So that's the language of the law. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says that it was weak and useless.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it could not make us perfect.
Correct.
It could not deliver us to the goal that God had in mind for us, and that was to make us fully alive in Christ. That's where grace came into play. So grace and mercy and all of that trumps judgment, and because it does, we experience life through faith in Jesus. That's
correct.
Great news, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Okay, so God has delivered us to to the goal.
Yes.
He has made us perfect in Christ. He has made us holy by that one offering, that one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He has also made us perfect forever. So what we could not do, God did for us in Christ Jesus. That's grace. So that grace began a work in us, and that grace is going to continue the work in us. So we've been delivered out of darkness into light, out of death into life. Now Christ is alive, living in us, and he is going to perfect this faith in us. Why? Because he is the author and perfecter of faith. That's good news, isn't it?
Sure is.
So we're going to step in, and we're going to look at a couple of passages and see how Jesus brings about this maturing of our faith. Now, we want to look at John 16:33, and this is, you know, if you don't believe the Bible, this one verse should tell you that it speaks truth.
Yes.
Because it really does reflect our reality here on planet Earth, everyday life that we experience. And Jesus is speaking, he's talking to his disciples, and he says this, "I have told you these things, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus is giving us these words. He gave these words to his disciples so that in him they would have peace. But in this world, we're going to have trouble. Now, that's a true statement, isn't it?
Unfortunately, it is.
Yes.
But it's absolutely true.
Troubles come at us like waves to the sand.
Yeah.
It's just the way life is. You may be getting out of one particular trouble and things seem to be going smooth for you. Well, there's more trouble coming your way. That's just life in this world. We're not going to change that. It's just how it is. Why? Because this world is still subject to sin and death. It is still under the control of that world system that Satan brought in at the garden when he deceived Adam and Eve. That's the world in which we live. But Jesus has overcome that world. And so as a result of that, we can take heart. It's good news, isn't it?
Yeah. What else are you going to do? I mean, if you don't look to Jesus and take heart because of his victory, then you're left dealing with all this trouble on your own. That's not a place I want to be.
No, not at all. Not at all. But if we're going to walk by faith in Jesus Christ, and that's the life that we've been called to live, we're going to have to do so in the midst of troubles.
Yes.
So God is going to use those troubles in a very positive way in our lives. We're going to see as we look at a couple other passages that these troubles that we experience are the very testing ground that God uses to mature our faith and to grow our dependence upon the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Well, this is our Friday study called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us. You'll find the study guide and the book when you visit the website, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. We thank the many of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. And because of what you do, we at Basic Gospel are able to do what we do. And that, of course, is to take the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the ones who are desperately seeking, who need to hear that God loves them and has provided for them. Now, when you give through Basic Gospel, you have a part in every life that is touched. If you can help us today, we would really appreciate your partnership with us. And if you can and will, just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift receive yours, as a matter of fact. Be sure to click that link to request the special gift that we put in place for you. Again, that's a donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we live in a world. This world is filled with trials and tribulations. Troubles are constantly coming our way. If we're going to walk by faith, we're going to have to walk by faith in the midst of those trials and tribulations.
Yep.
Now, knowing that and knowing that Jesus Christ has overcome the world, we can take heart. We don't have to be disheartened by these trials and tribulations. We don't have to be discouraged. We do not have to think that God is judging us or condemning us or showing us that he no longer loves us through these trials and tribulations. Those trials and tribulations don't make that statement at all. God's love is consistent. God's love is that rock that we stand upon, it never changes. It never falters. It never falls away. So whether things are good or whether troubles, whether you're right in the midst of trouble, God's love remains constant.
Yes.
And knowing that truth is the very thing that's going to enable us to get through it. So that's why James will write to us in his first letter in James 1:2 that we should count it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. Now, don't you want to just hit James in the face for saying such a thing?
Yeah, except James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and he had to face what all of the believers in Jerusalem faced. These people knew what trials and tribulations were all about, both from their former family members in the Jewish religion, as well as from the Romans, because of the constant fomenting of trouble that the Jews brought against Rome. I mean, he was there. He lived through that, so he knows what he's talking about. And people think sometimes that what we're indicating here is some kind of bizarre, self-fulfilling prophecy. That's anything but the truth. The truth is that everybody in the world faces these troubles.
Yes.
We face them differently. That's what we're saying here.
Right. As believers, we have Jesus living inside of us.
Yes.
So we've been equipped to handle these things in a totally different way.
Correct.
We don't have to depend on the ways of the world. Mm-hmm. Those ways just bring about more troubles.
Yes.
But depending on Christ, learning to walk by faith in Jesus in the midst of these trials and tribulations is going to do incredible things in and through us.
Yes.
And that's what James is saying. So he starts this passage with this admonishment, this encouragement to count it all joy when we face trials of various kinds. It doesn't make sense to the unregenerate mind. That sounds like foolishness.
Yes.
And all of the gospel, as far as an unregenerate mind is concerned, sounds foolish. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God. That sounds foolish to an unregenerate mind. But to a mind that has been aligned with God's mind, mm-hmm. a mind that has been renewed by the truth and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that sounds like the most logical response that we could have, to give thanks in all things, to count it joy. And the reason we can count it joy is the very thing that James writes in the next two verses, James 1, 3, and 4. So, Richard, read those for us.
Okay. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Okay. So, because you know the testing of your faith. Now, that's strange. That's a strange phrase, mm-hmm. Because we read it and we think, oh, no, God is up there, and he's going to test us.
Yes.
He's going to see if we're going to remain faithful to him or to go the way of the world. And we either pass or fail. And, boy, that makes us fearful. That makes us scared. Why would God do such a thing? Well, that's not what this is saying at all. He's saying that the various trials and tribulations that come your way are going to prove your faith to be genuine or fake. Mm-hmm. You're going to see if you're just giving lip service to this thing called Christianity, or if you really believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So these trials and tribulations are going to test that. So God isn't up there saying, oh, no, Richard hasn't done very well. I'm going to throw a test at him.
Okay.
You know, God doesn't work like that.
No.
Trials are just coming.
Uh-huh.
Those trials are going to test us and see if we're going to learn to walk by faith. And God's going to use that in our lives. So the testing of our faith produces what?
Perseverance.
What kind of perseverance? The kind of perseverance that says, Lord, I'm sticking with you through thick and thin. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to go out there and fix this on my own. I'm not going to try to produce the results that I want to produce. I'm going to stick with you, and I'm going to let you handle this situation. That's the type of perseverance that these trials bring about in our lives. Faith, as it says, produces perseverance. And then it says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Okay, so it has a positive outcome, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, this whole little example here is from the metalworking industry. If you've ever go to YouTube and look this up, watch somebody melt some kind of metal. It could be brass or steel or lead or gold or anything. And as it sits there, you think, oh, this is going to be something. But on the top, this garbage collects, and it's coming from inside and being washed out of the metal. It's called slag. And the perseverance part of this is to allow Jesus to continue that process. Then he just skims it off the top, and you're left with the pure metal.
Yes.
It's a beautiful picture.
It is a beautiful picture, and James says that's mature and complete.
Yes.
So we live in this world. We're going to be impacted, affected by the world system. Our minds, before we knew Jesus, were totally immersed into that world system. I mean,
yes.
We had pathways, so anything that happened, it went down those world pathways. And so Jesus is in the business of reconstructing
yes.
our mind. It's called the renewing of the mind. That's part of this growing our faith, maturing our faith, bringing us to that place of completion. We're already complete as far as our identity in Christ, the fact that Christ lives in us. Nothing's going to be added to that. Now our minds need to get aligned with that truth.
Yes.
That is what this completion is all about. It's all about the mind, the emotion, and the will. So God is, through these trials and tribulations, is allowing this faith, this by grace through faith, to expand into all those spaces within our souls that will eventually be expressed through our actions. So that's what this is all about. So we want to see this maturing happen in each and every
yes.
one of us. God uses trials and tribulations to bring that about. Therefore, we can count it all joy.
Yes.
Our joy is our strength. It's the very thing that enables us to power through these trials and tribulations. So that's what James said about trials and tribulations. This is how God, in Jesus, brings about the maturing of our faith. Now, Paul had some words about that as well. He weighed in on this particular subject, and he did so in Romans 5:3-5. It's a great passage, isn't it, Richard?
It is. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through this Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
It's kind of the same path,
same
isn't
idea.
It? Absolutely. So, we love to rejoice in the glory of God. You know, that's
yeah.
a good thing. We want to rejoice in those good things. But in Christ, we can also rejoice and glory in our sufferings. Mm-hmm. And we can do so. This is exactly what James was saying, to count it all joy. He's saying here to glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Same thing that James was talking about. And we need perseverance, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, we walk away from stuff so quickly today. I mean, the divorce rate here in America is around 50%. It's not much better in the church.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? We don't have any perseverance.
Yeah.
We don't have any stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah, I broke a nail, I'm
right,
out of
here. Right. There's no stickiness in any
yeah.
of our relationships. So if something goes wrong, instead of trying to stick in there and let God to do his work in the midst of it, we just turn and run. We
yeah.
walk away and say, hey, we're going to go find something better. Well, that's not what God has equipped us to do. He's equipped us to hang in there. And as we hang in there, we're going to see some great things happen. One, character. Man, you look out in the world, you don't see a lot of character, do you?
No. You see a lot of characters.
Yes.
But not
yes.
a lot of character.
Characters that lack character.
Yes.
I mean, integrity, it's almost become a forgotten word.
Yeah.
We use it every once in a while, but we rarely see it. Men and women who act with integrity. We don't see a lot of honesty. You know, everybody spinning things and making things look, you know, the best they can to not cast a bad light on themselves.
Yes.
That's what's out there in the world. We see it in politics. It's unbelievable what goes on in politics and what these politicians stand up and say with a clear conscience. It's like, how can you, you know, lie just right there and not even be affected by it?
Well, go back to my analogy about metalworking. If what you do is grab the slag off the top of the molten level and try to make something out of it, you will utterly fail. Because it has no integrity. It has no character to it. It's garbage. Get rid of it.
Right.
And we seem so enamored with dealing in the garbage rather than letting God scrape it off and dealing with the pure stuff underneath.
Absolutely.
So politicians are the slag on top, is that what you're
saying? A lot of only, stuff that they say
they're only
is
reflecting
that slag
us.
On top. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But character. We need character. And it's the trials and tribulations of life that are going to produce character in us. And then what follows from character is hope.
Yeah.
And boy, all of us need hope. That's what's lacking out there in the world, probably more than anything. Folks call for counseling. And you know what they're really looking for? They're looking for just one, just little bit of hope that they can grab hold of. If they have hope, they can move forward. Without hope, they're just going to crumble. That's just the way it is. So we need hope. Well, we're going to get this hope as we stick with things as far as God is concerned. We hang on to Him. We're going to see that hope injected into our situations. And this hope never puts us to shame. This hope never disappoints us, because in that hope comes the love of God, the realization of the love of God that has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We see this very truth that we started out with, that Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So this Jesus is alive, living in us. We see the reality of that in this passage, don't we?
Yes. I mean, we have already been given all of this stuff.
Yes.
And it takes these trials to develop the character and the hope so that we actually realize what it is we've been given.
Absolutely. Peter weighs in on this as well. He talks about the various kinds of trials that we're going to experience. And he goes on to say, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Yes.
So it's this mind, emotion, and will. As we go through these trials and tribulations, we see our mind being aligned to the very truth of the Word of God. We see our wills begin to choose the very will of God for our lives, and we see our actions reflected. It's the saving of our souls. This is what Jesus means when he says that he is going to perfect our faith. It's going to bring it to maturity. He's going to align our souls with what's true in our spirit.
Absolutely. Great stuff, guys. Thank you. Friends, we're glad that you were with us for this study edition from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. And at that same website, you can find the book and the study guide, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You know, at Basic Gospel, we are privileged to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ every day, and we're blessed to have many of you partnering with us. The need is great, and Basic Gospel has the answer for everyone who's ready to hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Join us, friends, in the blessing of giving through Basic Gospel. It'll make a difference in someone's life. We promise you that. Click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, be sure to request the special gift that we have set up for you. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. A reminder also that anytime over the weekend, you can call 844-322-2742 and leave a question for us. We'll address it next week on Basic Gospel. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Thanks again for joining us. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.